This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM, Nassau, Bahamas.
The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
The Revolution with Juan McCartney is sponsored by Advantage Insurance, Baja Retreat and Spa, Burger King, Commonwealth Bank, the Digital Transformation Unit, Fidelity Bank Bahamas, J.S. Johnson, Marco's Pizza, NUA Insurance Agents and Brokers, Ron's Electric Motors, and Wilmax Pharmacy.
Good afternoon, Bahamas, and welcome to The Revolution here on Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM. My name's Juan McCartney. So good to have you with us. We're talking current affairs today. At the 1 o'clock hour, we'll be talking for a few minutes with the Bahamian author who's actually written on some very serious matters, pregnancy loss, which is difficult for a lot of people to even wrap their minds around. I know people who have went through this, and everyone tells me it's just the worst thing in the world. But we'll talk with that after the break. First, we're going to talk about what's going on with the airport, airline, and allied workers union and the sick out that's going on through many airports throughout the country. With firefighters at some airport, at numerous airports, as well as baggage screeners at numerous airports, including Linden Pindling International Airport. So here's the thing. And the government of the Bahamas, make no mistake, has a very serious problem on its hands. And I'll explain what it is. Well, I'd be even clearer. The Davis administration has an issue on its hands, all right, which is that governments are continuous, and you don't just get to play let's start over when you come into power. You get a little bit of time. 10 months is more than ample time. We'll talk about the ins and outs and where the union is at, but let's talk about the government of the Bahamas. So these people work for the government of the Bahamas. Right. They're in a critical industry. They are critical workers. One might argue essential workers. Firefighters. If you don't have fire trucks or fire apparatus at your airports, then most international commercial flights will not be coming to your airport. All right. If you do not have baggage screeners, you cannot operate international flights due to ICAO rules, and you can use Defense Force officers and police officers and trainees in certain respects, but there are certain pieces of sensitive equipment that you need certified people to operate, okay? So these people work for the government of the Bahamas. These people have an agreement with the government of the Bahamas. Now, let me explain what's going on so that we can get into the nitty-gritty. In 2020, the last administration came up with an agreement. It was the airport authority, the previous board, who had really set the terms that they could live with. And the union said, absolutely. All right. We will agree to this. All right. Now, this was after an agreement lapsed in 2018 that was never executed, as far as I'm aware, never sent, never registered, all right? So in 2020, they came again. They said, okay, we're operating under the rules of the old agreement as is natural labor practice, and now we have a new agreement in 2020. The union signed off on that agreement. However, the former administration didn't, all right? And therefore, the union was never, the agreement, again, was never executed, but they had an agreement in principle, and they were living by those terms. Now, what's happening now is, my understanding is the government is saying that that agreement wasn't necessarily valid, and so now we need to renegotiate a new agreement, and that could mean that a couple of years from 2018 to 2020, they don't get the promised increases, increments, et cetera. They've been getting their salary, right, every month or whatever. They've been getting that, but they're promised increments, increases, et cetera, different sweeteners that you get in these industrial agreements. So the agreement was actually never signed. However, in my estimation, it's bad faith for the government of Bahamas to come now and go, well, you know, we're not going to abide by that because the previous administration didn't sign it. Yeah, but you were in this entire time, 10 months now, more than ample time for you to get your affairs in order. Governments are continuous. This is what the previous board had agreed to, all right? And that's what the union had an understanding of, and therefore we should honor that agreement. Otherwise, why would I bother negotiating from administration to administration if the rules are going to change, if you play by different rules, every time administration changes, you go, well, the last administration didn't execute. I don't care about that. It ain't no administration to me. The airport authority, all right, is a statutory body of the Bahamas government. And I'm dealing with the airport authority, like the names and faces and personalities and all that stuff. That comes into play at times, but my business is with the airport authority. Now, whoever's sitting in the seat, no problem. I'll deal with you, unless you're Belinda Wilson with Zane Lightborn. Whoever's sitting in the seat, I'll deal with you, but I'm negotiating with the government, all right? Not whoever's Minister of Finance or Financial Secretary, but I'm negotiating with the government. And I need my money from the government. And it's all well and good to tell people, be patient, be patient, be patient, when it's not your money, all right? My perspective on my money is I have zero patience, okay? Run me my money when you said you were going to pay me, and let's move on. I've delivered the service as per the terms of the agreement. Now you deliver the money. That's what we agreed to. Well, we didn't sign off. Yeah, but that's the proposal you gave me. We signed it. We understood we had an agreement, certainly in principle, if not an executed agreement. And that's what we've been abiding by. All right. And agreements, you know, I'm no lawyer, but agreements don't always have to be signed, X, Y, Z. You live by the terms. Contract law is complex and diverse, right? Now, the problem that I was explaining the government of the Bahamas has is y'all owe a lot of people a lot of money. And it ain't Brave Davis' fault, right? Or Michael Darville's fault or Chester Cooper's fault. It just is what it is. Governing the Bahamas is a complex arduous task, all right? Now you... It says it's not the AAAWU. It's those workers represented by the BPU. Okay. Okay, fair enough. It's not the AAAWU. No problem. It's the firefighters and the screeners, all right? Whichever they're, if they're a BPSU, no problem. In any event, the problem the government of the Bahamas has is that you owe a lot of people money and they don't want to hear we just got in. They don't want to hear give us some time because they see you spending money. Now, here's my understanding of this. I understand that these people are owed collectively $10 million. Okay? That's my understanding, that they're owed $10 million, that cabinet had agreed to pay them the money. When the request came to the Ministry of Finance, the Ministry of Finance did not pay. My understanding is under the premise that we don't actually have an agreement, a legally binding agreement. All right. And that's the premise. So why would the Ministry of Finance do that? My suspicion would be the Ministry of Finance don't have $10 million in cash sitting around like that. I guess they found 30 for the Grand Lucayan. But anyway, I'd guess that they don't have just $10 million in loose cash sitting around just to hit the airport workers off with. And then you pay them. You still owe nurses money. You still owe teachers money. You just said you're going to get a raise to nurses and teachers. You still owe people who work for the PHA money. So, you know, it's a lot. It's a lot. And you're negotiating other agreements. Now, if you don't have the money, that ain't really my problem, okay? You got to find the money. And here's where I say your problem comes in. People see y'all spending money, and then when they come say, hey, where's the money you owe me? It's a problem. We got a call. Give me a second. I'm going to get to the call. Hold on 1 second. That's the problem. The perception is it's all good. Hey, yay. It's all good. We're going to go travel all over the place, yada, yada, yada. Hey, maybe you guys are staying at the Econo Lodge when you all travel and like 70 of y'all are piled up in a Suzuki Swift or something like that. Doubt it's like that. Y'all are getting Arby's, Chick-fil-A, whatever. People don't care. They see you spending money. You're taking X, Y, and Z around the world. And people start to go, man, what happened to my money? You ever seen somebody who owe you money tell you they're going on a trip? You ever been in that situation? Someone owe you money. Maybe they forgot they owe you money. And they tell you, yeah, we're going on like a family vacation. But how you going on family vacation, but you owe me $500? Yeah, you know, you see someone who owe you money and they go buy a brand new car. And you're like, what's really going on? It's like this. And you still expect me to work for you. Now, I don't agree with withdrawing labor. And we'll talk about that. But you owe these people money. And I understand what Chester Cooper's talking about, strong-armed and all this, but y'all owe these people money. You entered an agreement with these people. They're your employees. You got to pay them. You know, and I don't blame them for not wanting to hear no long talk. I think Kelsey Ferguson is perhaps, I wouldn't have done this. I know you're owed money, but I don't know that you guys are losing your homes or anything like that. Maybe that's the case, but I wouldn't have done this. Our tourism economy is just rebounding. It's too fragile for this right now. I get you want to get their attention, but I wouldn't have done this. I know you're owed your money, and you should get your money for certain. All right. We have the call in line. Good afternoon. Welcome to the revolution.
Hey, good afternoon. How are you doing?
Hey, I'm good. How's it going?
I'm good, man. Bushcook here.
Hey, what's up?
Hey, cool. Listen, I just have a question, right? For years and years, it's always been a new party comes into government. There's always this union talk and strike. And September is always coming back up for union strike. And it's always the same song and dance, right? So my question is, right? Why, when unions go into negotiating with the government, why aren't there members of the opposition, whether it be the opposition leader at that time or the shadow minister at that time for that specific ministry, who would actually agree to the terms? So whether the government is elected or lose, the agreement still stands, because at that point, it was in opposition. You would have started with the negotiation. You would have agreed to the terms. So now when it becomes your government, there's no new. Or we didn't know this, or we didn't know that information. Let's cover the ground. So we don't have to come back here every other 5 years, every other year with the same song and dance.
Right.
So whether PLP went, whether the FNM went, is the agreement still stands, because both parties were at the table when we negotiated this. And it just ends that.
Right. So now, here's what I'm going to say to that, though. Why I got to do that? I'm negotiating with the government of the Bahamas. So whoever in the seat, whoever y'all put in the new, it don't matter to me. I have an agreement with this. So why I got to bring the opposition to the table when it's the government of the Bahamas I'm dealing with?
Happening, most times that the government signs the agreement, and 9 times out of 10, they don't get their money till either before election or right after election. So what happens is that they get this time, you know, everything's like, I'm stop, cancel, and review. Why are we stop, cancel, and review an agreement that you already know about?
Exactly.
So why are we reviewing this? You already know about this. You already started the negotiation. You were CC'd on it. You were advised on it. So why is now the shock to you now? Because we know our government, everybody, we always say government is continuous. And then it's time to pay someone. Then it stops.
Right. It ain't our fault. That wasn't us who agreed to that.
Always continuous. But then when it's time to pay somebody, all of a sudden now we got to stop, cancel, and review.
You know, that approach might really have some merit, you know. It actually might.
And honestly, I don't really agree with you on this because I feel as if it's just a big shenanigan. Because I don't feel as if they have their members' best interest at heart. It's all about the political favor. It's all about everybody or I am in the chair now and this is what. I just feel as if if they just come together and let's be honest about what's happening in this country. Because they know. They know what's happening. Just be honest and say, hey, we cannot do this now. Speak to your members. Let them know what's happening. But this whole strike and, I mean, like I told one of my employees this morning, most of our government employees were home for 2 years during the pandemic. Mm-hmm. No government employee was let go or fired. At least the airport was shut down. I don't remember anyone getting fired from the airport, whether it be firefighters, whether it be bike trainers. They were still receiving a salary. At least extend some grace. I say, you know what? Let's give some grace because we could have been let go. We could have been paid or we could have been fired. None of these things happened. And now all of a sudden, now the economy just started to open back up. This is the time to in the middle of the summer is our busiest season for tourists. I don't agree with it.
Yeah, I don't agree with the withdrawal of labor either. Thanks, Bush Cook. Appreciate you, Corey. All right. Appreciate it. That's a thought to have the opposition. I ain't trying to call nobody else. So who was the past chairman of the airport, the managing director of the airport? Cargill, was it? Was it Cargill? I ain't calling nobody else. And I ain't trying to figure out your financial situation like that. Because y'all ordering electric cars, y'all traveling, all right? Y'all doing all these other things. Y'all, I can tell you something too. Y'all gonna run into a problem. I say y'all got a problem because y'all owe a lot of people money. And the thing is, you can't only want to be the good news government. All right? You got to be the government to do the responsible thing. I can explain something to you in a minute. But me, I ain't looking for to go. Who was previously aviation? D'Aguilar. I ain't trying to go find D'Aguilar. D'Aguilar, why don't tell Chester Cooper, y'all agreed. I ain't got to go through none of that. We have an agreement. Now, you issued it to me. I signed it. That you didn't sign it. I stayed on the job all this time. We got to go to court. We got to go to industrial tribunal. Again, I don't... Withdrawn labor. But if every time is some mix-up and long talk because the government changed, then what I negotiating with the government for? What are we doing? Then I got to worry about that. I got to worry about if the PLP and FNM win. I got to campaign for you. What are you talking about? The government is the government is the government. We got another call? That's fine. Good afternoon. Welcome to the revolution.
Hey, boy, what's up, brother?
Hey, I'm good. How's it going?
All is well, my brother. I would like to, I don't want to comment on nothing today, but I'd like for you to engage me for a minute to wish my fiance a happy birthday.
Happy birthday, fiance.
My fiance Melissa Smith to Water and Sewage. I love you, and enjoy your day. And I'll see you later.
Now, DeWitt, since you called, I gotta put you on blast now.
What's that?
I've been hearing this fiance for a while, my brother.
That's what.
When I get a wife
three,
soon,
three,
if you listen.
3 years and a couple months soon. Okay. Vaughn, my philosophy in life is, and I don't have a house. She has a house, but I want to put my lady in our house.
I got you.
All right?
Absolutely.
That's how I look at it. You know, I'm not running for marriage. Hey, that's the one I want to marry, and God's spell, I will marry.
You aren't quite there yet. I got you, bro.
Yeah, right.
I got
right,
you.
Right.
But your intentions are clear.
I'm working on it, but I still acknowledge her as my fiance, and nothing can change that.
All right, my brother. Well, happy birthday to your beautiful fiance.
Yes, sir.
All right. Take your time. All right. Let's go to a break, and we'll be right back. I don't all this particulars, but who? I don't get into all that. Like, if you're the government and I have a deal with you, you need to run me my money. Ain't no less start over. No. I've been working all this time under the assumption that these are the terms we're operating on. You need to honor this agreement. And I think it's bad faith to say, let's start it all over because it's not signed. That's just me. We'll be right back.
Fantasy, we're good for you.
We know how.
how important collecting your money can be to the success of your business. Start your relationship with Fidelity today so that we can show you the many options available to you with our merchant services, from click and pay options online to merchant terminals and e-commerce options. We're here to help your business succeed. For more details, speak to one of our business development officers at 356-7764 in Nassau or 352-6676 in Freeport. Visit our website at fidelitygroup.com or visit any of our branches.
Hello? Can you show you something else, boy?
Who this is? Tamika?
You don't even remember my name? Wow, Dred.
Girl, I've been so busy. You still planning a trip?
Girl, and I can't wait. I right here online booking my car.
You dare planning trip. You vaccinated?
Girl, we had to. We ain't been nowhere since this pandemic started. Girl, and we got a 14-day vacation.
Fast vacation.
Girl, are you though?
Well, I know you's gonna get the vaccine, because you too like travel. When y'all get your vaccine?
Girl, long time. Because you got to get your first dose, wait, then get your second dose at least 2 weeks before you travel. Johnny get his vaccine and he 12. Even Grammy get hers. Child, and Grammy say she ain't get no money. But I see her hiding that under the mattress.
Child, let me send my list, because I know you going shopping.
Keisha, don't play with me.
Vaccinate today, live tomorrow. A message by PAHO, WHO, Canada, and USAID.
Happy anniversary, my gateway. Did you know that you can request and pay for over 35 government services on mygateway.gov.bs? Sign up today and access government services online with efficiency and simplicity. It's a celebration of a year of collective success on our digital transformation journey. My Gateway, making government work for you.
For 25 years, Advantage Insurance has provided coverage for your most prized possession. Insurance plans to cover your vehicle, home, business, and boat with customized options that work with your budget. Now, Advantage says thank you to all our loyal customers and business partners over the past 25 years. Call 356-0285 or visit Advantage Insurance on Collins Avenue today. When every dollar counts, count on Advantage. Celebrating 25 years of service.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
Good afternoon, Bahamas. Welcome back to The Revolution here on Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM. My name is Juan McCartney. Good to have you with us. We're talking about the issues going on with the union. That represents the firefighters, the baggage crews at the airport, some like 27 employees, I think, called out sick. So again, to recap, y'all owe these people this money. $10 million ain't no chump change, but that ain't nothing impossible for the government to raise. And you know what? You got to sometimes work with people. Because let me show you something. If you owe me $10 million, right? Anyway. Let's say you owe me $10,000, right? And I say, man, look, I need my 10 grand. I've been working. I do the job. I've been working this whole time. It's over X amount of time past now. I need my money, you know? Bills got to pay. School fees due, et cetera. I get it. You're in a tight financial position, but you around here spending money on other things. So I need my money, right? And if I go to you, I say, I need my 10 grand. You say, okay, but look, I don't have all the 10 grand right now. Okay? So here, let me show you what I can do. I can give you 5 now and give you another 25 3 months from now and another 25 3 months from that, and I can make that up. What'd you say? Right? Because I know I got something back pay for you, but you're still on a job, you're still getting paid. Let's work it out like that. So I can go to Kimsley. I can say, look, man, I don't have the 10 million right now. Okay? Not today. All right? Here's what we can do. We can give you 2 million now. Give another 3 million in a couple of months. You understand? We can pay this out over a year. I can make this right. We can sign the agreement. We can run up. Blah, blah, blah. You have to not nickel and dime these issues because they end up blowing up in your face. All right? $10 million again. Ain't no chump change. If you got a spare $10 million, send it my way. All right? But in the context of the $3 billion expenditure, that ain't impossible to wrap your hands around. All right? Particularly when people see you paying out settlements to this one and that one and da 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 da. They're going, oh, well, y'all, that money was easy to find. Well, how come my money can't get found? Now, again, I don't agree with withdrawing labor unless your work conditions are intolerable. Then I believe you withdraw labor. I think you stay on the job and work it out through the negotiation, the reconciliation process, as long as you can, unless your work conditions are intolerable. If your work conditions are unsafe, if your work conditions are conducive to being productive, if they're making you sick, X, Y, Z, then you withdraw labor, right? So y'all gonna be waking out in the rain. I can't live like this. Y'all gonna be wearing no AC in here, no windows. Your work condition, I can't work. I got mold, the floor rotten, like the old post office. Them people, I would be like, I can't work in this environment. I'm so sorry. All right. And then I see withdrawn labor. But something as critical as this, I don't agree with withdrawn labor over money. If you're saying that we have working conditions where we're in an adverse situation, we're getting harassed, we're getting this, we're getting that, like how they had with the security checks before with the air traffic controllers, those sorts of things I can understand. But again, these are critical government employees. All right. Anyway, they said they're going to refer to the Industrial Tribunal. We'll see. We'll see what happens. Let's do some text. But before I do that, let me say this again, too. So to Corey, you know, thinking on it more, you know what? I'm not going to have the FNM in any, I'm not going to have the opposition because the opposition doesn't have any legal standing. And so I can't sue them. I can't take them to court. I can't take them to the tribunal. I can't go, well, Michael Pintard said X, Y, and I don't know that Michael Pintard is going to be the leader 5 years. Who knows? You know what I mean? I don't know the Brave going to be prime minister, even though you expect the prime minister to make an agreement with you and it'd be honored. But I ain't bringing nobody, but who have the legal authority to fulfill these terms under this contract. And so I don't need to talk to nobody else. I won't talk to the government. That's who I want to talk to. All right. So before I go to the thing, let's do this. Are we got a call? Sure, no problem. Let's take the call. Good afternoon. Welcome to the revolution. Hello, good afternoon. We still got the call, Chris, or not?
Hello?
In? Yes, hello. You're a bit low.
Hi, is this Mr. McCartney?
Yes, I got you now. Yes, this is.
How you
is
doing, one. Sir?
I'm good. How are you?
I have a problem too with the union. I call you a few times when the hotel union representative was on. I want to know, sir. I want to know, why is it so hard for the union to pay you? You've been in the hotel from 83 to 97. Your contract said after 10 years and you reach the age of 55, you're entitled to pension. I can't get my pension. They took it up to 15 years. After 10 years, they took it to 15 years. That ain't nothing to do with me. I was in the hotel from 83 to 97. I deserve my pension.
And you were supposed to get your pension starting when?
At the age of 55.
Oh, and it's you've had to wait for that.
I done 60.
Oh, really?
I done leave the hotel from 97.
Oh, I got to call.
I was short 3 weeks. Remember, this the lady who called you when Mr. Colbrook or somebody was on with you.
Colbrook, Jesus, no, that Roy ain't been in the President Union for years. I don't remember. I won't lie to you, but that's not right. Is that with the union itself, or is that with
then,
the...
When we served, then I went to the hotel from 83 to 97. That changed. It changed after 97.
Okay.
That don't have nothing to do with me. Why am I being denied my pension?
Yeah, I agree with you. All right, well, let me leave your number with the producer. Let me see if I can ask the hotel union about it.
Okay.
Your name and number. All right?
All right.
Okay, great. Sorry to hear that. Yeah. Let's go to another break. We'll be back. I'll deal with your text messages. Stay tuned.
Yeah. You do coffee your way.
Double shot, decaf, cappuccino.
Light roast, Colombian, no milk.
You do vacations your way.
Hiking boots, tent, mountains.
Five-star hotels and theater.
And now you can do insurance your way.
Online.
Email.
Chat.
WhatsApp.
Or in branch. For home, car, travel, boat, or business insurance, do it anyway with NUINs and brokers. Visit NUAinsurance.com, call, or stop by a branch today.
When it comes to picking a pharmacy that is convenient, reliable, and puts you first, only one name comes to mind, Willmax Pharmacy, a team of trusted and trained pharmacists ready to serve and assist you with all your pharmaceutical and over-the-counter needs. We also carry beauty and hair products as well as household and everyday supplies. Open 7 days a week, 7:30 a.m. to 8 p.m. NIB drug plan is accepted. Cut down your wait time. WhatsApp new prescriptions and refills to 817-4067. Visit Willmax Pharmacy today. Poinciana Drive, opposite University of the Bahamas. Call 323-1037.
At Ron's Electric Motors, they repair and rewind all major brands of electric motors, including water pumps, generators and generators back end, welding machines, electric lifts, air compressors, battery chargers, and more. They're equipped to handle up to 850 kilowatts and rewind up to 450 horsepower motors. They're conveniently located on the corner of Wolf and Clarence Roads and are open weekdays 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. It's till noon. They offer 24 hours emergency assistance. You can reach them at 242-356-0249.
Baja sugar, sugar, let's get sugary. Softer, smoother, and amazing skin. No, Baja sugar, sugar, we're the sugar ladies. Giving you skin soft as a baby's. Goodbye, hair, we'll take good care of you.
Come visit us at Baja Treat Spa on East Bay Street. Contact us at 323-6711 or visit us online at www.baharetree.com.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM, Nassau, Bahamas.
Good afternoon, Bahamas. Welcome back to The Revolution here on Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM. My name is Will McCartney. Good to have you with us. We got some text messages. It says, so on, they owe retired RBDF also and was promised it would have been paid last month. Yep. Y'all can get in problems. I can explain something to you if I get a chance in a minute. Look how quickly this administration has entered into legal settlements for persons close to them. They found the money then, and so they need to find the money now. And that's going to be the sentiment. All right. It says, Ferguson should have shut down the entire airport. Yeah, you're in forever. Yeah, well, that doesn't make any sense to shut down the airport. Like, you're owed money. We're going to work it out. But I ain't going to be able to give you no money if ain't no revenue coming in from the airport. And so it's critical. Y'all just say this like it's a fun thing. Shut down the airport. So a couple of y'all ain't get, a few of you haven't been paid, a number of you haven't been paid, perhaps many of you. What about everybody else? What about everybody else's job at the airport? All right, that's fish to me. Shut down the entire airport. What about all the taxi drivers? What about the porters? What about the bag attendants? What about the ticketing agents and all this? All of them must suffer? Come on. Just be reasonable. I hear you. Maybe you're not being entirely serious, but you got to be reasonable. So if you can settle secret lawsuit settlements, pay the people. We're broke. Hardly any work around. Okay, these people have jobs. So just to let you know, they're not working on a day-to-day if there's traffic basis. They're paid. They're owed money. But that we're broke, I don't know the we part of it. Y'all like to lump everyone in on this broke thing. Hardly any workaround. That's not the case. The unemployment rate is still high, but hardly any work. There's not a lot of work in some sectors. I'll give you that. This says the government in opposition signed a memorandum of understanding, was fully aware of all outstanding agreements. Got you. So again, here's the thing. And like I want to say to Corey, you could sign anything as leader of the opposition. Unless the Constitution gives you some authority as the opposition to broker any deal, then that means nothing. I'll set that agreement on fire, memorandum of understanding. That means zero. That's just me and you photo-opping. I ain't gonna do none of that. None of it. Now, would you trust me again if I said I would do something for you when I just straight up ignored that? Probably not, and that's a problem. But legally, I ain't gotta do that. You can't go take the MOU to court and be like, y'all gotta pay me when y'all get in government and watch what happens. It says, what the administration did, all that for the civil servants during the pandemic when the average behavior was sent home without pay and some even lost their jobs. Wow. I mean, that's one way to look at it. And I do hear that. I do. Y'all were working the whole, y'all got paid the whole time, even when the airport was shut down. I do hear that. I do hear that. But the airport's open now and I'm back at work. Almost a year is enough grace period for me to feel like I'll give you a break here while you figure things out. And now I need my money. Again, I wouldn't have withdrawn labor. I don't think Kimsley Ferguson should have done that, but there's no question that they're owed money. Says, haha, but they paid their boys and girls, though. And DeWitt don't wish to make a comment on the topic. Why? Well, I don't know. DeWitt's under no obligation to want to comment on the topic. Says, McCartney, it's like we getting punished to license vehicles, sitting in this heat dread for hours on the line. Why can't you just pay online and email my information instead of cooking in this sun? But you can pay online. Did they stop that? I paid online. And I sat there for probably 30 minutes. I was annoyed. I paid online and just drove up. Go to mygateway.bs. You can, unless I'm mistaken, you can pay. I paid online unless they stopped it. Yeah, I wouldn't be trying to be in the sun for hours, you say? No. Good afternoon, Juan. When they finally get their money, do they receive the interest that should have accumulated on it? Interest should have interest? How? What interest accumulated on your money? We got a cash agreement. I know, but no interest. Unless it says that in the agreement. It says, Juan, I agree. Sometimes you have to work with people. You owe me $10K and come to me and say, you have $5K now, and we'll pay the rest at the end of the year. I agree to take the $5K. At least I'll be reducing the money owed to me. People need to be reasonable. Right. And so I don't know if Kimsley Ferguson is being intractable and they're going, well, Kimsley, we can pay $1 million next week. Because in the voice note, he was like, it's a little measly $6,000, $7,000. Some people owed $40,000. I wouldn't say measly is $6,000, $7,000. A lot of people wish they would have that kind of money coming to them. But I don't know if he's being intractable and that is like, well, no, I want all my money now. We want all the money now. To me, that would be unreasonable. All right. Now you're telling me, now the government is saying, we just ain't gonna pay you nothing until we have a new agreement in place. That is also unreasonable on the part of the government. So see, you have to engage and train RBDF in those positions so you can call them. Yeah, true. A new fleet of cars. It's a slippery slope with new examples like Sri Lanka and Pakistan staring us in the face. Got to watch how we spend millions like it's pennies. Scary. Okay. Pakistan, help me out with that one. The Taliban took over, the economy collapsed. Sri Lanka, that's just rank corruption. Yeah, that was not cool. And nepotism in a way that I don't know we've seen in the modern world outside of any dictatorship. But I agree, you got to watch how you spend your money, for sure. So civil servants are tired of all the flowery talk by this new government. We need our monies to survive. We look forward this July payday for back pay and salary increases owed and promised on our bank accounts. I got you. You need your money. I know. You need your money. I agree with you. If I were you, I'd want my money too. Not tomorrow, not 10 days from, I want my money now. All right. The withdrawing the labor part, if I'm still on the job, I'm collecting a salary, but I complain about some issue that hasn't gone through yet. Contractually, I'm not going to withdraw labor. You got to pursue. To me, you don't do that unless you just cannot be on the job. You just cannot. And from what I understand, their working conditions are pretty good. Says Juan, Kingsley is being too political and allowing his president to cause riot. If someone, especially the government, say they will pay you in installments, think about the country. I don't know that they did. I would have said, I'll pay you in installments for certain. And from listening to his voice note that leaked, it sounds like they were getting some money. But my understanding is the Ministry of Finance has said, we're not paying you $10 million. Now, I don't know why they can't go. And also, y'all can find $10 million, right? I just saw $50 million in government registered stock up for sale. You could find the $10 million. All right? Here's the issue. I'll say this real quick before we go to the break. You got to, as a government, understand that you can only be the good news government. All right? I see Miles wrote us, no plan on NIB. Brad Davis is quite familiar with NIB, even though he said recently he didn't read the report, but he was chairman before of NIB. He knows what's happening, right? You got to tell people that NIB is going to have to go up. Now, is it going to go up right now? No, that's fine. I don't want to pay more. And I don't want to pay more ever. But I understand if it would have to go up. Your NIB should have went up when the prescription drug benefit was implemented, which I think it was a mistake. I don't know why Ingram didn't increase the NIB contribution to cover the prescription drug benefit. It was a great, great idea, but you got to fund it. I have to look at the context of the time, maybe, to understand why he wouldn't have added the increase. When he added the unemployment benefit, increased NIB contributions by 1%. You could take in that next 1% or whatever like that and increase the prescription and funded the prescription drug benefit. Now you hear the government talking about catastrophic health care. You're not going to be able to fund that out of the budget on a continuing basis, and I doubt it'll cap off at, what was it, $10 million? So you're going to have to tell people, look, it ain't pretty. Yeah, I won't get reelected, but I'm doing this for your children, you know, and I hope you forgive me for it, or you don't feel too badly about me for it, but this is what we got to do. I got to do what is necessary, all right? We got to take a break. We're going to go to the news, and we'll be back. We'll talk a bit, and then we'll be talking with our guest. Stay tuned.
This is Guardian Radio 96.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome back to the Revolution here on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. My name is Paul McCartney. So good to have you with us. We will be talking in just a few minutes with Dr. Latasia Stewart, also known as Dr. Taz, who's published a book on infertility and pregnancy loss. It's called The Secrets of Faith, Infertility, An Untold Journey of Faith, Fertility, and Favor. And I haven't had a chance to read, but I did preview it. And it is something that a lot of people have a very difficult time dealing with and speaking about in wanting to have a child and going through these ups and downs with conception, with losing a child, et cetera. It's very difficult for a lot of people. And it does require oftentimes a great deal of faith and as well as medical intervention. So we'll be talking about that in a moment, but we have a caller on the line. In the meantime, good afternoon. Welcome to the Revolution.
Morning.
Hi, how are you?
Good. The lady who was calling about the pension and she wasn't getting the pension. She, you know, like she don't know why.
Mm-hmm.
The thing is I was in a hotel too from 83, and when I reached the age of 55, I was able to get my pension. So I had no problem getting my pension. So I don't see why she have a problem. I don't know if she going through the right procedure or what. But I know you have to go to the hotel host, pension by waitress host. So two of them combined, each one to pay a portion of whatever your pension is. One place wouldn't pay the whole pension. So maybe she needs to do that. She needs to go to hotel host first, which is by the Hilton on that strip. Their office is there. So she needs to go there first, and they can do a process there. Then she go to the pension place by the workers' host. They can do a process there. and then they will give you the pension. I had no problem with getting mine.
Okay, excellent. Well, good.
I hope she's listening, and maybe she needs to do that, but I had no problem getting mine. But the thing is, if you was in the tipping area, the pension is a little or nothing, because, you know, they base it on your salary, and your salary when you're in the tipping area isn't that much.
Right.
But I was still able to get the couple dollars, so maybe she needed to take the route, but I did. I had no problem in getting mine.
Yeah, it's something that it helps. I agree.
Yeah.
All right,
so
thanks so much.
She needs to go to the two places, and then she'll probably be able to get hers.
Excellent. Well, I'm hoping she's listening, but I got her number from the producer with her out, because that one is a rough one when you're looking for your money. I saw where Sandy Sands was talking about looking to get some sort of exemption on the gratuity areas of the hotel in terms of the new minimum wage. He's gonna have to explain that one to me. I don't quite understand why. If I'm getting minimum wage and I'm in tips on top, then I don't know why we're back going, you know what I mean? Let me get both, if that's what it is. All right, that's my view. Now the grat, there's a lot. The grat and the vat hit different at the hotel. Now, you automatically looking at 25% over what the regular, the base bill is. So that one could hurt. All right, do we have Dr. Taz in studio with us? Good afternoon, Dr. Latazia Stewart. So good to have you with us on The Revolution. Do we not have Dr. Bacon? Okay. Do you have a caller online? Or Dr. Taz was in studio, as far as I'm aware. All right, well, maybe we have a caller online. Good afternoon. Welcome to The Revolution.
Hi, good afternoon. Can you hear me?
No, it's Dr. Latazia. Okay, Dr. Taz. Dr.
Yes.
Dr. Latazia Stewart. Hey, hi there. Welcome to The Revolution. Welcome. So
thank
good to
you.
Have you with us. Awesome. So we're here to talk about your book and what it's about. It's called The Secrets of Faith in Fertility, An Untold Journey of Faith, Fertility, and Favor. Now, I see you on the cover of this book. You are very much pregnant, so I'm assuming that the end of the journey was a successful one. But tell us about the book. Tell us about what you went through.
Yes. So indeed, that is me on the cover of the book that you're taking a look at, and I'm going to share it here as well. And the journey is one that ended on a really good note. And it actually continues, I could say, or is evolving, because it's now having me share with the goal of providing hope to others that are experiencing infertility. Mm. So this particular book that I wrote, it's one that has a story about, as I tell folks, all my business, right? And planned on sharing. I sometimes consider this to be my life's biggest secret, because I never told anyone, not even my mom. And it was something that I was very embarrassed about. I was shameful about. And it was something that I never expected, you know, to experience. You know, growing up here in Nassau, before I moved to the U.S., I always thought that the way things, all of things go, you go to school, right? You go to college, mm-hmm. you graduate, you get married, you get a job, and then you have kids, right? That's what we, that's what we say all the time. But okay. When it was that time to actually have kids, it caught me and my husband by surprise that we weren't able to have it like everybody does right away.
Right.
And wow. So there was weeks and months and then years that went by where we were challenged with having children.
What do you mean exactly? Do you mean that you had a problem getting pregnant, but you also speak about pregnancy loss?
Yes, yes.
Since you're telling us all your business, mm-hmm. Kind of explain to us like what that means, because my wife and I didn't have a problem when we were trying to have children, mm-hmm. but I wasn't really paying attention, unbeknownst to me. When she would tell me about it, she was like, well, it took like 5 months or whatever like this. What was your experience?
Yeah. So, you know, they say that when you're trying, you should try for at least a year, right, before you should
right.
be concerned if you're under the age of 35. And if you're over the age of 35, you know, you should give yourself at least a 6-month window. Well, I was in my late 20s And we was well past the year window. And when I went to finally decided to go to the doctor to have things looked out, there was a concern regarding scar tissue. Mm. Now, here's the thing with infertility. Infertility is something that for many women can come in so many different forms. For me, it was with scar tissue. And I thought that was only it. But there were other things that were also barriers that I speak to in my book, including five in experience. Mm-hmm. And there were other things, including endometriitis. Some women may be familiar with the term endometriosis. Mm-hmm. Well, I knew about that one, but I came to learn that I had endometriitis. And I speak to that more in my book because that's a terminology that I don't think a lot of people are aware of, that they can actually experience that prevents you from actually becoming pregnant as well. With respect to pregnancy loss, so my husband and I, when we finally, through the help of fertility treatment, when we finally were blessed with the ability to have a child, mm-hmm. we became pregnant with twins.
Oh, wow.
And, we were beyond excited. Again, nobody knew of what we were experiencing before we got to that point. Mm-hmm. But when we did become pregnant with twins, and I was visibly pregnant, I was on a business trip.
Oh my God. How far along were you?
I was almost 6 months.
Jesus.
And you know, while I'm speaking from my end of the story, my husband, he's not here. He's actually home in Florida with our kids right now. Bless his heart. I only just recently, as we were talking about my book and he was sharing some things, he said the other day, you know, I remember where I was when I got the call. Mm. And I wanted to share that because sometimes, you know, we focus on women when there is a pregnancy loss, not realizing there is also men who are experiencing another level of grief mm-hmm. and need that level of support that sometimes we only place on the woman.
Right.
And when he shared that with me, where he was when he got the call, because he was in Florida and I was in Ohio, that's not in my book, but I actually had to take a step back and I apologized to him because, you know, I felt like there was a part of his grief that I won't say I didn't acknowledge while we were going through it, because when he mm-hmm. finally got to Ohio and we were together, that moment in time that he experienced the initial impact of learning what was happening to me and his children was something that I'm like, as I'm reading this book, I'm now going through another level of grief knowing that.
Yeah. Yeah. But that, and you know, I didn't go through your experience, but in my experience, that's kind of how grief works sometimes. Mm-hmm. It's this whirlpool trying to suck you under, and you're fighting so hard not to get lost and drown in your own grief that you forget that other people are struggling as well with their own personal issues with grief.
Absolutely.
So how many years ago was this that you experienced that loss?
So that loss actually happened in 2009, believe it or not.
Wow.
Right?
Okay.
And we had other losses that I discuss in my book.
Wow.
And then
more than just the twins.
Yeah, it was more than just the twins. You know, and that was with the and those were with the use of fertility treatment. And I want to mention that specifically because a lot of times individuals, you know, and me growing up, you know, in a Christian community and a Christian church, we sometimes put a stigma around the ability to explore alternative medical treatment for mm-hmm. the different ailments that we encounter. And mm-hmm. one of the reasons too that I'm out here kind of like sharing my business in the street is because I want people to realize we need to change the narrative around that. You mm-hmm. see, just like I was sharing on a show I was on last evening, if one of us were to get a broken leg today or tomorrow, what are we gonna do? we're gonna go find a doctor, right? We're not gonna Absolutely. Let our kid right. suffer with the broken leg and say, let's pray over it. Let's you right. know get the bush medicine and put on it, and you yeah. know that broken leg is gonna be fixed. Correct. You know, God has given us wisdom to go and seek medical treatment for the broken leg. And we know subsequently that there is therapy that, you know, the individual may need to go through to walk with, depending on the age, right?
Right.
But when it comes to fertility treatment, when we look at that medical diagnosis, we sometimes shy away and say, you know, well, it's going to happen.
Right.
And I'm not just saying that it can. It does for many people who, after some time of trying, eventually does. But there is nothing wrong with seeking out fertility treatment for this particular medical diagnosis. And let's just call it, that's what it is. It's another medical diagnosis, just like the many other diagnoses that exist.
Absolutely. Well, I you know what? It's very difficult for me to even wrap my mind around what you're saying and what that must be like to deal with, because you went through a prolonged period of where you could not get pregnant. Then you seek help and you get treatment. And then you do get pregnant, yes. and you must have this incredible sense of elation. And then 6 months, which is you're almost in the home stretch, you lose both your children. It's. How do you even get back up after that and keep going and keep saying, I don't know that I could deal with that pain and still be like, let me go through this again. I don't know if you're strong enough, you know?
Yeah. You know, Juan, that was rough. That was rough.
Yeah.
You know, in my book, I talk about the first experience where I was able to, I think I picked up pretty quickly after that one, because I believe that God was with me still, right? The next time it happened, I told God, I'm like, you forget me.
Yeah.
I feel like you forget your church girl per se, but you know, I tried to live a good life. Right. I wasn't out there doing things that were harmful to my body, but yet it was as if I felt forgotten and I felt alone. And I, as I've released my book, I've come to realize more and more that this is also the experience of many women who go through pregnancy loss or through the challenge of having kids.
Yeah.
They especially if they're ones that, you know, are faith-based, they sometimes think that God has forgotten them. And I was one of those individuals.
Yeah.
But I have an experience that I speak of in great detail in my book, where God just revealed to me it couldn't be more physical than him being next to me telling me this, that I was not forgotten. And that's a message I want to get out to women and couples that may be experiencing this. You are not alone. You are not forgotten. And there is purpose in the pain that you're experiencing. I'm being read by individuals now who are, you know, sending me message. In fact, just before I walked in here, literally as I was walking in the door to this talk show, I got a call from an individual. And they're in the U.S. in another state. And they were like, I got the book. I'm sorry. I literally just finished reading it. I'm on the last chapter, but I couldn't finish this last chapter. I wanted to let you know how powerful the message is in there. And we need to get this to more individuals to know that there is hope and that they are not forgotten. Because many individuals like myself struggle with this still in isolation.
And that's, you know, that's what I wanted to ask you. Like, have you found that this is something that's more common than people think? And a lot of women just keep it to themselves and internalize it because they don't think that it's something that they should discuss openly.
So when we talk about how common it is, and I'm going to give you the Center for Disease Control statistics in the United States, and then you can, you know, think about that for the demographics here in the Bahamas. For infertility, it's 1 in 8 women.
Wow.
And when it comes to miscarriages, it's 1 in 4.
Oof.
So when you think about your immediate circle, right? You got your auntie, you got your cousin, you got your sister, you got your coworker, right? You got your friend at church, right? and you count maybe three other women that you know, at least one of them right now is experiencing infertility. And then take that down to one hand, at least one of them have experienced a miscarriage. Mm-hmm. Here's one of the things that we sometimes take for granted. Everybody at some point or another is going through a struggle in life, right? And right now, probably even in this same building where we're having this talk show, there is a woman that may be in a bathroom grieving over the loss of what's happening in her body right now. Mm. Right now in an office building, there is a woman in the bathroom silently about what's happening within her body. And so when we sometimes get into conversations with individuals who may be taking a long time, as we considered it in our mindset, to have a child, mm-hmm. and we are like, oh, girl, what's taking you so long? You know, or you ain't getting mm-hmm. no younger. For me, you know, it was like, you better have a kid before you turn 30, because, you know, when you turn 30, you know, those eggs drying up.
Wow.
We need to get more sensitive and become more aware that this type of conversation is inappropriate.
Yeah, yeah. And I realized that maybe a year or two ago, I was talking to a friend of mine and I was like, oh, when are you guys going to have kids and everything? Mm-hmm. And he's like, oh, you know, we'll see. I was like, yeah, you should do it. It's great having kids. And after we had that conversation, I thought to myself, you know what? That's none of your business. Mm-hmm. Like, you don't know what's going on with them. And maybe you put them in an awkward position. Yeah. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So I think that as a culture, we do need to become a little less personally involved with people's decision to have children or not. Yeah, absolutely. So tell us about your success. The story ends well. You said you have kids, so multiple.
Yes, plural. I do. Yeah. You know, one of my personal missions right now is to build hope for women and couples and bring joy. You know, I believe that in building hope in what is possible for them, if this is their journey, if this is their experience now, that they're able to see Christ in the process, you know? And in seeing him, as I was able to see him as I went through this journey, that they are able to experience his joy. Because the thing is, when you can reach a point where you're able, even in the midst of your struggle, one, it is priceless. It truly is. You know, I eventually reached a point during my journey where I was able to say, God, if you don't bless me anymore, then you have blessed me right now. And this is while I was out without kids. If you don't bless me anymore than you have blessed me right now, I am blessed more than enough. Mm. And it's truly getting into a point where you're able to appreciate where you're at in life and the blessings that are around you. When I got there, I truly believe when I got to that point, mm-hmm. God was like, okay, Taz, you're ready.
Gotcha. Wow.
You're ready. Awesome.
Well, this is awesome stuff.
Things started to move. I mean, and, you know, we're blessed with not one, not two, but three amazing kids. I'm going to brag on them a little bit, Juan, because my babies, even my daughter right now, we're doing some work in our house, and she sent me a picture last night of how she's packing some stuff that were in a drawer and put in a box. And she's like, Mommy, I got all the stuff in the box. And she's sending me the text. She's 9 years old, my Jasmine. And I'm like, God, really? And she's a gifted violinist. You know, she plays in the Florida Symphony Youth Orchestra and just is making, you know, making me and her dad super proud. And then I have twin 7-year-old boys, and they are all the things when it comes to boys. One, he is very athletic, you know, when it comes to running and doing gymnastics. And the other is a piano extraordinaire. If anybody who's been on my Facebook page has seen, he I don't know where he gets it from because I'm not a musician, but I will say for those who are listening that know musicians here in the Bahamas, my husband's uncle was Wendell Stewart. Wendell Stewart we know is a Bohemian music legend. And so mm-hmm. I'm thinking his grand uncle and his grandfather, Alexander Stewart, they must have left some of their music genes in him because just at his most recent recital, he played Beethoven's Symphony No. 5.
Wow.
Like it's nobody's business. So wow. when I look at what God has done to bring me to this point with the children that I have now and the talents and the gifts that they have, I can only say for those that are experiencing where the pain and the heartache and the heartbreak exists with regards to infertility and miscarriage, there is hope. And for us, it was a long journey. But at the end, I can share that God truly and blessed us in ways that we could not have begun to imagine as we were experiencing it.
Well, that's just incredible, Dr. Daz. Thanks so much for sharing some of your story with us. If you want the entire story, you got to check out the book. If what you're saying gets into more detail and there's more ups and downs in the book, then it must just be an amazing read. I can't wait to read it.
Yeah.
The Secrets of Faith, Infertility, An Untold Journey of Faith, Fertility, and Favor. This is on Amazon. Where else can they get it?
Yeah, it is on Amazon. But, you know, I got to bring it home. I had to bring it home. I had to bring the book to our home. And so locally, it is available at Logos Bookstore in Harbor Bay. It is also available at the Oasis Bookstore and Cafe over there at the Miles E. Monroe Diplomat Center. And it is, as of tomorrow, I do my final book signing. I will be over at the Black Food Bookstore and Culture Shop there on East and Robinson Road. I'll be there on tomorrow, completing the end of my book tour here in the Bahamas and providing book signing and just being available to meet and greet others. I must say, Juan, the Bohemian people, it feels good to be a daughter of the soil and to come home and to be supported the way I was. On Friday, we know it was raining like crazy, right? And yet there were individuals who came out to the book signing I had there at Logos. And then again on Sunday, the Miles E. Monroe Diplomat Center inside of their bookstore was just a buzz. It was just a buzz yesterday. And it wow. really made my heart feel good to know that there are others who are willing to learn more and to understand more about this experience that others in their circle may be experiencing. So the book is not just for those that are going through infertility, but truly for our community as a whole to become more aware of this challenge that others are facing.
Excellent. Well, thank you so much, Dr. Taz. You can check out drtaz.com, drtaz.com. And hopefully you get a good turnout at the Black Food Shop. Thank you for sharing so much of such a personal story with us. I really do think that it helps when we talk about these things and people understand that they're not alone and faith is such a huge component of it. But thank you so much for coming on The Revolution. We really appreciate you.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
All right. Excellent. All right. We're going to take a break, guys. That was Dr. Taz, Dr. Latazia Stewart, and just a really incredible story that she's sharing with us and that gets much deeper in the book, I am told. All right, you guys, stay tuned. We'll be right back after this break.
You're with double shot decaf cappuccino,
light roast Colombian no milk.
You do vacations your way.
Hiking boots, tent, mountains.
Five-star hotels and theater.
And now you can do insurance your way.
Online.
Email.
Chat.
WhatsApp.
Or in branch. For home, car, travel, boat, or business insurance, do it anyway with NUA Insurance agents and brokers. Visit NUAinsurance.com, call, or stop by a branch today.
Fidelity, we're good for you.
I used to think of the bank as my personal ATM machine. If I wanted a new car, new furniture, a weekend trip to Miami, no problem, just max out the credit card or top up my loan. I was a big baller until I realized that 75% of my salary was going to pay back all those loans. Fidelity's personal financial coaching was the best solution. Fidelity gave me a plan with a debt consolidation loan that has a built-in savings that pays 5% interest. I now only have one low monthly payment, plus money in my pocket. Give Fidelity Bank a call at 356-7764 in Nassau or 352-6676 in Freeport. Visit any of Fidelity's locations or visit a website at fidelitygroup.com.
The King wants you to take a walk on the tangy side with the all-new Zesty Whopper Collection at Burger King Nassau. Enjoy the classic Zesty Whopper with two types of cheese, zesty sauce, and crispy onions stacked on 100% flame-grilled beef. Or go zesty on our plant-based Whopper and crispy chicken. All three are saucy, crunchy, and full of flavor. And only available at Burger King Nassau. Visit any of our seven locations and enjoy a Zesty Whopper as a combo or as part of the King's Feast at Burger King Nassau, where taste is king.
The most important thing in life is family. And whenever you need reliable advice, you look to the people you know you can trust. At J.S. Johnson Insurance Agents and Brokers, we earn our clients' trust every day. Whether it's home, motor, travel, or commercial insurance, we've got you covered. Call 397-2100 or visit jsjohnson.com.
J.S. Johnson Insurance.
Celebrate every day like a birthday with Marco's Pizza Carryout Special. Spend less, get more with our large one-topping pizza for only $10.50. Yes, one topping of your choice served on our fresh dough, fresh cheese, and signature sauce. Every single day for only $10.50. Marco's Pizza, where every day something special happens. Every store, every day, the Italian way.
Tired of banks forcing you to use technology to bank the way they want you to? Your convenience is important. So no matter what your banking needs, Commonwealth Bank's friendly staff are always available in branch for that personal one-on-one service. But when you choose technology, our online and mobile banking app offers you state-of-the-art functionality. The choice is yours. Commonwealth Bank. Bank the way you want.
Sugar, sugar, let's get sugary. Softer, smoother, and amazing skin. Oh, Baja, sugar, sugar, we're the sugar ladies. Giving you skin soft as a baby's. Goodbye, hair, we'll take good care of you.
Come visit us at Baja Retreat Spa on East Bay Street. Contact us at 323-6711. Or visit us online at www.baharetree.com.
This is Guardian Radio 9FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM. My name is Juan McCartney. So good to have you with us. All right. We just finished talking with Dr. Latasia Stewart about her new book, dealing with infertility, dealing with pregnancy loss. Really just sad stuff, but she came out on the other end with three kids, and that's just awesome. Fantastic. That's rough stuff. I know somebody who lost a child. By 6 months, you don't pick that a name. More than likely, you already know what sex the baby's going to be. You didn't buy in furniture and all this clothes for the baby. I couldn't do it. But you know what? You often think like I'm not strong enough for some of this stuff, and then you figure out you're stronger than you think, but I'm not. I'm just not. Like, my daughter has like a little neck pillow she wanted to go to sleep with, and it's got like a snap thing to snap it to you so the neck pillow doesn't fall off. And she was lying down with that, and I was like, you got to unsnap it. And she's like, why? I was like, listen, if anything happens to you, I'm not strong enough to deal with. No, we're not taking any unnecessary chances. I couldn't do it. My children have to bury me, son. I can't do it. All right. We're talking about the union and the fact that some of them called out sick. We'll see. Chester Cooper's going to have to marshal his resources and figure this out. But at the end of the day, it's the Minister of Finance that's going to have to make the call. All right, whether you pay them. Anyway. I wasn't going to be out here having no unions freaking out on me, trying to mess with operations at the airport or whatever like that. I was going to take care of it. Now, if I know we have a deal and we have a legitimate agreement, fine. Now, if you're just rah-rah Ryan because you want your way in all things, that's different. But if we have an agreement, I'm not going to sit here and parse through, well, maybe I shouldn't do this. Maybe I should. It's not going to work. All right. So they got to get on top of it, and they've got to take care of these people. All right. And you know what? PLP, let's not act brand new. All right. Let's not act like this is our first rodeo. Okay. Let's be clear on what we're dealing with. Okay. We are dealing with the contract entered into in good faith by both parties. And now the sentiment seems to be that we don't have to honor this contract. And you know that's not how it's supposed to work. All right? Though even if we don't have a signed agreement, we should at least have an agreement in principle. Or you could say we have a gentleman's agreement that says, okay, all the paperwork isn't through yet, but this is what's happening. Right? And in law, you can sue. All right? Because you have a read what our agreement is. If the airport authority, I don't care under what administration, says to me, here's the terms that we're willing to deal with. This is our proposal to you. And I go, accept it. And I sign off on the proposal, but the airport authority never does. I still have a reasonable expectation that we're abiding by the terms of this agreement. All right. Because I operated in good faith. I showed up to work. I did what the contract said I needed to do. Now you need to do what the contract says you need to do. And a lot of people go rah, rah, rah. And you want to, the union's ungrateful and they got paid all the time and all that stuff like that. Fair enough. All that's true, right? All that's true. Not that they're ungrateful. All that's true that they got paid and they kept their jobs. But at the end of the day, I've given you some grace period to make this right. Because this is a matter that's going on from 2020. All right. This is now halfway through 2022. This is now almost a year that you've been in place. Would I have withdrawn the labor? No. But you can't deny you owe me the money. I can't just be y'all shut up. All right. But this is what happens when you don't want to have to deal with these difficult decisions. You're going to have to. All right. You are going to have to deal with this. You're going to have to make it happen. You're going to have to figure out where it is we go from here. They said 5 days these guys are going to be out. I would bring it to the table and be like, let's work this out. Send it to the Industrial Tribunal and go from there. All right. But you can't just let the situation linger like it is. I don't believe in that. Now, you could make all sorts of arguments that says, well, you know, we shouldn't have agreed to X, Y, Z. And I don't think the former government should have done X, Y, Z. Well, the former government did what it did. All right. And you with the government just like that, just because the government changed. All right. Not without some sort of mutual consent. In my mind. All right. So LPIA, I'm told there aren't a lot of lines. I'm told that it's going smoothly, but the understanding that we have is that in New Providence, the situation has gotten pretty hairy, some longer lines, we understand. So Robert Farquharson is saying that 90% of airport staff that's under the BPSU didn't report to work, and more than 100 airport employees throughout the Family Islands failed to report to work this morning. Bell's calling it an illegal strike, and I'm sympathetic to workers, but he has a case to make there. If you would recall the last I wouldn't say the last time, but the nurses had a strike. Cleola Hamilton was president of the nurses union at the time. And they had a strike, and Ingram was prime minister, and Ingram had to get the court to order them back to work. They said, you're essential workers. You can't stop working. It does too much damage to the public. So the nurses can't just withdraw their labor. Even though you see the nurses again going talking about a strike vote, it's a leverage tool. A little over 200 employees assigned to New Providence, 90% of them who should have reported for duty this morning didn't report for duty. Yeah, to me, that's a problem in terms that you're messing with a fragile situation with the tourism. I wouldn't have done it. You can make all the arguments you want. That's fine. You can feel how you want to feel. I wouldn't have done that. Our tourism situation is too fragile to mess with it at this time. On the flip side, you should say that the government should be the ones who are the first to say the situation is too fragile to mess around at this time. But, you know, I don't, Kimsley, I don't know. I don't know about the withdrawn labor thing for me. Okay. This says, if the government can pay settlements for its workers, it should pay the workers. If the government can pay settlements, it for sure should pay the workers. Okay. Hey, Juan, we don't need no cars, but certain folks getting their payout. Wonder what Anton have to say now. I don't know why they're doing a whole new bunch of cars either, to be honest with you. Y'all need to ride them Kias until the wheels fall off, Papa. Kia don't go bad after no 5 years. Not like you, well, you know, you got to work on them. It's my second Kia. Says you guys want a society. Hold on, slow down, because y'all do this a lot. It's a force of habit. And it's probably just in the zeitgeist and we do it, right? But I take exception to it. This when y'all do this, I mean y'all who specifically write these texts like that. Maybe it's a colloquial thing. When people write these texts and go, all of you, but you don't speak for me. Okay, so I don't know who you're talking about with you guys. They're saying McCartney. Let's just separate you guys from McCartney. And let me answer it that way. McCartney, you want a society where the social elite and politicians make all the money, but the people who actually make the country work, you tell them not to strike. These people can't pay bills or mortgage or rent. Executives at the airport make over $100,000. So tell Chester, pay the people, everything shut down. Yeah. Okay, so first of all, I'm going to not take it personal. Do I want a society where the social elite and politicians make all the money, but the people who actually make the country work, you tell them not to strike? No, that doesn't make any sense, does it? All right. And I didn't say don't strike. And as far as I'm concerned, the union has no strike certificate or legal ability to strike at this time. As far as I'm aware, I'm sure if you ask Kimberly Ferguson, he wouldn't tell you this is a strike. You can absolutely strike. Absolutely, you can strike. But the fact of the matter is that they've been on the job. I don't know that they can't pay their bills or mortgage or rent. If you are a government employee and you missed your mortgage payment, I don't understand what it is that you're doing. Of all the people in the Commonwealth of the Bahamas, the people who should have been able to pay their bills during the pandemic would have been government employees. So I don't understand the argument that you're making there. Now, if you want to dial it down, and you're free to say whatever you want, although you're wrong about me anyway, personally. If you want to dial it down and you say, the point A, we can't pay our bills and mortgages, because a lot of y'all has come cry with that, right? The point is, you owe me the money. It's my money. So beyond whatever sob story you're saying, I don't know, they can't pay their mortgages. I don't know who you are. Maybe you're one of them. The fact of the matter is, you owe me the money. We have a legally binding agreement in my estimation, and I would like my money. All right? Now, withdrawing labor, I don't personally agree with over circumstances like this. How you say that? You want a world where the social elite and the politicians make all the money? Think it over, man, what you're saying. That would exclude me, right? Why would I want a world where the social elite and the politicians make all the money when I'm neither? Why would I? The people who actually made the country work, I actually helped make the country work too. I work every day. I know you guys hear radio and you think someone rains money magically down on him. It's not like that. If I don't work, I don't get paid. I'm no different in no different situation than you. So you're not making any sense. But let's move on. If you think I'm socially elite, you haven't been paying attention. This says, I pay $1,500 a month for health insurance. Damn, $1,500. And was told that if I do IDF, that will not cover my birth or my baby. Wow. Yeah, IVF's crazy expensive. Says there are protections here we need in law. After losing a baby last year, after trying for 3 years, it's even worse when you have to hide it. Yeah, I mean, I don't know what to say. I can't. I'm so sorry for you. I don't know what protections in law you would be referring to, but I think that if someone wants a round of IVF treatment, there are things that we could probably do on a national level to help with that. Yeah, but I don't have condolences for certain. Yeah, that's very rough. I'm very sorry. And I would think that if you mean protections in law, like the insurance company should pay for IVF, there's something to be said for that too, I believe. I'm no insurance executive, but I think that's right. It says, McCartney, ain't no way I paying $55 to renew no cost, right? Okay, that has nothing to do with me or anything at all we're talking about. That sounds like a real like personal issue that you need to take up with cost, right? It says, there's also a husband crying as to what happened to his child because of negligence due to the hospital. I don't know what you mean by that. It says, great show as usual. My fiance has sickle cell and can't go full term with kids. When people ask me about kids, I have a smart mouth. So what I really want to say, I try not to say, but some people can't have kids. Yeah, I mean, yeah. Yeah. I thought about that too. I'm like, you know what? I don't know what people go through. Because people, though, I talk a lot on this show, but you don't know what I deal with. Not at that level. Yeah, but we should stop doing that to people. Like, I stopped doing it. I'm like, oh, when you're having this baby and all, like, if you bring up baby, then it's fair game. But I'm going to just look at what's going on with a baby. You know, I don't know what's happening. Maybe you've got COVID impotency. This says, Juan, the workers are sick and tired of being mistreated. Prices on everything going up. We tired and sick. The PM needs to stay home and handle domestic business, please. Yep, I hear you. I hear you. I'm with you. You could make all the claims you want about what it looks like around the world, X, Y, Z. You just popping in and out, traveling, going everywhere. And a Bahamas could be like, look, bro. Now the prime minister got to travel. That's fine. But at a certain point, you go, all right, let me make 6 weeks to eight. So it's what, 6 to 12 weeks. Just so you could see, I check it in. I hear I dealing with it and deal with it. You know what I mean? And deal with it. Yeah, so I mean, I think that there are some challenges that only money are going to solve. Only money will solve, right? So you're not going to finesse all the airport workers and Kinley Ferguson them, and oh, for country. And oh, you were being paid while everyone was on break. I mean, that only goes so far with people. At the end of the day, if you owe me money, you owe me money, right? I don't agree with a lot of these, how they solve these labor issues by withdrawing labor. But you know, that's just my personal view. It says, Juan, I've been in the union for years and dealt with many pensions. Tell the woman to call me on WhatsApp. I'll try to help. All right, I should have her number and I'll forward yours to her. It says, everyone's circumstances are different. Also, you need a certain amount of credits to get early pension at 55 from the union. And the union pension is totally different from NIB pension. Tell the woman to call me. I'll try to help for certain. Says Juan, the writer said people can't pay their bills, but this money they never had. So I don't count the chicken before they hatch. Why run up bills before you get your raise? That's a foolish cry. Yeah, that doesn't make no sense to me. Like, I know that stuff is going up, and that's an argument to be made. Hey, man, the pressure's on. I need my money. But if you're saying, I still got paid this whole time, how could you not pay your mortgage? Like, what happened that you weren't paying your mortgage? You brought up your personal can't pay mortgage. I didn't bring it up. I wasn't even going there. I was going to go, it's my money, dog. If I want to take it and go fill up an inflatable pool full of assies, I'm going to do. Right? That's it. I want a bushel. I want a wheelbarrow full of strawberries that I can fling at stray animals. It's my money. I'll do what I want. Right? That's it. You don't got to worry about what it is I got to do with it. You agreed to pay me. I did the survey. I did the work. Give me the money. That's all. I don't want to hear no long story. I don't want to have to convince you that I need my money that you owe me. So, Governor Bahamas, you have to pay these people. Okay. That's what's going to happen. All right. You have to pay these people, and that is it. Other than that, I don't think everyone's very interested in what's going on. I think you do need to look carefully at the withdrawal of labor issue. That's not the way to go about it to me. You got different avenues, but that's what's happening. All right. So we could parse through whatever it is that you want to parse through. But at the end of the day, people owed their money, and that is all. All right. We got to get out of here. You guys have been great. Most of you anyway. We will be back tomorrow, Lord willing. You guys take care out there and have a great day, Bahamas.